We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind and Allstate. Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
Well, these have become more common, a Wednesday edition of The Game Plan with Toby Rowland. I'm Chris Plank, but I'm done on Tuesdays until the Women's College World Series, hopefully, Toby. But you've got a big one next Tuesday. Heck, for OU baseball, got a big one coming up this week, and I'm excited for you to get on a bird for the first time in a while and travel.
First flight of the year.
Nice! Let's go!
With any OU athletic team. And I'm kind of not really with them. I just happen to be on the same plane. So, but I'm excited. 10 games to go in the regular season, and they're all big. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but did themselves some real good last weekend with the Bedlam Series win and in Morgantown this weekend, where they really, really, really need to win another series. They really need to win all of them the rest of the way to give themselves a good shot at the, at least at an at-large at the NCAA tournament. You've always got the Big 12 tournament path in front of you, but we'll see. Morgantown is always interesting. They're a desperate team right now too. And so we'll head out there tomorrow morning and a full long travel day. I think we go to Denver, then to Pittsburgh, then the bus down to Morgantown. So it'll be a good long day of travel tomorrow.
Nice. And you stay, by the way, this is totally inside baseball, but you literally stay in a hotel that's beyond the left field wall, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's one of my, it's one of my favorite road venues. Once you get there, it's like every sport with West Virginia. Once you get there, it's pretty cool. And the hotel is right across the street from the ballpark. So you just walk back and forth and call the games. And it's not in Morgantown. It's kind of up on the hill just outside of town overlooking the valley and the river and everything.
That's right.
So it's on a clear day, you can see the rolling mountains in the distance. And it's really pretty. It's pretty cool.
So technically, is that baseball stadium considered off campus?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely off campus.
Wow, okay.
It's in a different city, technically. I think it's maybe Granville, West Virginia, but it's it's the outskirts of Morgantown, kind of out near the interstate. Definitely off campus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the minor league park.
That's right.
Honestly, I think I heard that it's one of the minor league teams that didn't make the cut this year when they reorganized. That's just something I heard, so I don't know that that's 100% true, but it's a minor league park they built about 4, 5, 6 years ago now, and West Virginia shares it with the Black Bears, I believe they're called, one of the Pittsburgh Pirates affiliates. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool setup that they've got there. You know, when they joined the league, they didn't have Well, they had a baseball stadium on campus, but it was a pasture. You know, it was no good, and they couldn't really play there. It wasn't up to quality to be hosting. The Big 12 wouldn't approve it because it was, right, you know, too dangerous. So they played their home games in Charleston for the first couple of years while they built this new stadium. And but they got this thing built now, and it's pretty good.
I where you're staying is where we stayed whenever I got to go with women's basketball. And it's just, there's a, not to, again, not to go too into, but there's a Buffalo Wild Wings within walking distance. You can walk up to the Walmart.
Close.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that Buffalo Wild Wings is dangerously close to the team hotel. And it's a good setup, but we got to see if they need two wins minimum. They need two wins. If they could get them, that would be a nice RPI boost. They jumped about 20 spots last weekend with those wins over Oklahoma State in the RPI. If they could win two out of three this week on the road, they would jump a few more. So got to keep that train rolling in the right direction here.
This is one of those moments where from the baseball perspective, where maybe we should have just went ahead and taped on Monday to recap the Bedlam series, but we wanted to wait until after the Tuesday game against Tech. Nine walks makes it challenging. I was listening to your post game with Skip Johnson afterwards, but you know, as he said, just maybe what, a little overly aggressive at the plate. They hit the ball hard at times, but they just weren't able to take the nine walks that Tech had.
Yeah, it was one of the odder games I've seen. So OU out hit Texas Tech 12-10, and there were two errors committed in the game, both of them by Texas Tech, and the Red Raiders won 14-4. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense, except you got to factor in all the free passes. And OU walked nine and hit three. So they had, you know, they put 12 guys on base, and you can't do that against an average team. You certainly can't do it against a top 10 team like Texas Tech. And they made them pay. The Sooners were, you know, they played 30 innings of highly emotional baseball over the weekend. And like we said, they're getting on a plane early tomorrow morning to go to West Virginia. So they didn't take some of their pitchers with them out there. The guys who weren't going to throw, the weekend starters, plus Jason Ruffcorn and Luke Taggart, didn't make the trip. They're down Peyton Graham and Tanner Treadaway right now with injuries. So they were a little shorthanded. No excuse. Texas Tech's had some injuries too. But, just kind of one of those games where, like a few of them have been this year, they got behind early and it kind of snowballed on them. And they had they didn't have their frontline arms to kind of stop the bleeding. But hit the ball hard. They got 12 hits off of Tech and could have had another five or six more. But, boy, Tech had one of the best defensive nights I've ever seen, where they had diving catches all over the place. And so that one went the wrong way. It was a non-conference game, so it doesn't kill them. Would have been a very nice RPI win if they could have gotten it. But I think it's got to fall into the category of shake it off and get back after Big 12 play this weekend.
By the way, that was one. I listened to you most of the week, and I think we were we didn't have softball, so I listened to you all weekend long. What am I talking about? I listened to you Friday and heard you on Sunday quite a bit. And after the two wins, the big win on Friday, which was the 14-run game, and then squeaking one out on Saturday. Toby, that Sunday game in the first two innings was about as intense of a first two innings and teetering on the brink of throwdown. And both teams did a good job of righting themselves. You can't help but, you know, wish in one hand, and I don't know what the analogy is in the other, but, boy, they had a chance to win that game, but kept battling. It was a fun game, fun series against Oklahoma State.
Boy, it was. It was great. Really a golden opportunity to sweep them, and it does sting that Sunday game got away after they had the two-run lead going to the ninth inning. But you're right. I mean, you know, Peyton Graham, for those who missed it, Peyton Graham got hit by a fastball in the eye leading off the game for OU, and it had to be rushed to the emergency room and got it all stitched up, and it looks like he's going to be okay. There's no fracture or concussion or anything, but his eye's swollen shut. So we will see whether or not he's going to be able to help him this weekend or not. I think he's going to try to make the trip, and he says he's playing.
Wow.
But we'll see. I don't think they're going to let him play if he can only see out of one eye. It's hard to hit a fastball or curveball with two eyes, much less only one. So we'll see whether he really plays or not. But so you had that. Jimmy Crooks got hit by a pitch. There was a play at second base where there was a hard slide. And, yeah, both teams were barking at each other pretty good. And it looked like, hey, this thing's going to get off the rails if you know, which Bedlam does, by the way, from time to time through the years. But both teams settled down and just played a great extra inning, 12-inning baseball game that the Cowboys ended up winning in the end. But, you know, bottom line of the series is Oklahoma hasn't beaten Oklahoma State in Bedlam since 2016. And with their backs against the wall and absolutely needing it, they got them this week. And so that went from the season kind of being, you know, a little bit dead in the water to, hey, there's hope here.
Right.
Like I mentioned, the big RPI jump, they jumped up the Big 12 standings. So there's still a ways to go. They still are not in the at-large range yet, but they at least have some life to them. And if they could follow that up with another series victory on the road this weekend, then, hey, you know, here we go. Maybe they got a chance for a sprint to the finish here.
Meanwhile, speaking of Bedlam, we got a big one this weekend in softball. Sooners and Cowgirls playing for the Big 12 championship. And, you know, it's nice to have an off weekend, a bye weekend. I celebrated by getting sick. But with that in mind, you know, I don't know that I can remember, Toby, a break this late in the season, but it appeared after what happened on Tuesday night, it was really good for this team going out and beating a ranked Wichita State team 14-3. They had them 14-0 until a couple of walks and an error in the fifth inning. But that's 40-0 on the season, 30-run rule wins. It's just, man, the machine keeps rolling.
Do you think the break was good for them? Or did they need some rest, or would Patty have rather played?
I think Patty wanted the rest. I almost said I grilled her. I never grill Patty. She grills me. But I kind of asked her a couple questions about it. Hey, is this real? You know, this what you wanted? And I went back. Is it really what you want? And it was. And you know, you think about it. You go back. Oh gosh, the week we were supposed to play Baylor, and we ended up with the surprise bus trip to Louisiana. So that was a big bus ride. Then the schedule shifts where you have the midweek game against Baylor for the Big 12, and then you take and prior to that you have the trip out to Georgia after the emotional series against Texas. So I'm kind of working backwards here, but they had spent a lot, and I just mean energy wise. And I think that the best thing for this team and what Coach said was, sit down, you know, we'll work on some things we can work on in practice and watch games. You know, take inventory of what's going on around us. And I really think the team took advantage of that, T-Row. And, again, Wichita State's a really good team. Wherever – they're not just beating what was Bob Stoops' name for?
East Popcorn State.
There you go. They're not just beating East Popcorn State. Wichita State's going to the NCAA tournament. And Wichita State probably is going to end up playing in a regional in either Austin or Stillwater. And they've beaten the Cowgirls 2 of 3 times this year, so they're going to be a problem. Tell me, they put 14 on them last night. You know, and you could completely excuse this team if, they came out and they were a little bit rusty. No! They went 3 up and 3 down in the first, and then they scored 4 runs in the second and never looked back. So that's a really long answer to a short, solid question. Yeah, I think the rest was good for him, you know, and I think you're going to see a team that's going to be very motivated this week. And I don't know how it happens, but people keep saying things, Toby, and they'll put a chip on this team's shoulder when they're 40-1 and they haven't lost a Big 12 game since 2017. But yet you keep seeing things on the national stage and people talking softball. And, you know, we always joked about Baker and the chip on his shoulder. It's almost like softball has become really good at giving the Sooners a reason to be even more motivated. It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
It is, though. So where is that stuff? Like you talk about, who's saying what?
I think there's still a disrespect for them on a national stage, and that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But because their one loss was to Georgia, and because it was a Georgia team that is not necessarily at the top of the SEC right now, they're a tournament team, but I'll check their standings as we sit here and talk about it. You know, and listen, Kenny Gajewski, I think he comes out and he's just trying to build up his team, and he doesn't mean anything I think, to over inflate this matchup. But whenever he comes out and says, you know, Oklahoma hasn't seen pitching like ours, you're kind of like, oof. You know, it's just there's little things that are said, and you're like, I listen, I'm not going to complain, but what are you doing? You know, because you're giving this team even more motivation than they need. And most of the analysts outside of Aaron Miller are like former UCLA players or former Texas players, and I think they pick and prod a little bit. And I just it's again, I know that you probably get tired of hearing about it because we see it in football and we hear it all the time. Oh, there's a SEC bias in softball. There's a big-time UCLA Pac-12 bias. But I'll tell you what, Toby, this team really feeds off it. And it makes me excited to see how they're going to react this weekend, because there's no reason why a team like Oklahoma, given what they've accomplished this season, should be motivated by people saying negative things about them. Everyone should be on board with just how special this team is, and that really hasn't been the case. It doesn't help either whenever Georgia goes out and gets swept this weekend by Alabama. I think when they finally had a chance to play Tennessee after the Oklahoma series, they ended up losing 2 of 3. So Georgia didn't really take its Oklahoma win and like go to the moon either. So yeah. I think that hurts them a lot too.
What has to happen this weekend?
All right. Here's what's very simple. You have to win 2 games and you've won the Big 12 championship, right? Technically, if you win 1, you've clinched at the very least a tie for your, what would that be, 9th straight Big 12 championship. But they want to sweep. You know, they want to finish the season undefeated in conference play. So they need 2 wins to clinch a Big 12 crown, 3 to make sure they have it all by their lonesome, because Oklahoma State comes in with 1 loss in conference play. They've only lost 1 game. They're coming off a sweep against Texas, Toby. They are a really good softball team. But, you know, you want to go out and you want to beat them, right? It's your in-state rival. They're kind of feeling themselves right now, and for good reason. You know, Oklahoma State being good helps the Big 12. But, you know, this is the first time since 1997 that all the games are going to be played at one site. Usually they'll play 2 at the home site and a 3rd game either at the visitors or at a neutral site, but this year all 3 are in Stillwater, first time since 97. So I mean, there's a lot to this, man, and I feel like every time we have this conversation on the podcast before Bedlam softball, you know, it's a credit to Oklahoma State that they've put themselves in position to win this conference. It hasn't happened yet, but they put themselves in this position, and I think that says a lot about the job they've done there.
How did it happen that all 3 games are in Stillwater?
So, okay, I've got the Kenny Gajewski cut. I'll have to send it to you for your radio show. But for years and years and years, and I want to – I think maybe 2010 was when they went to 3-game sets. The idea was we'll either play – it saves money, right? Because you split the game. They used to play – 1 in Oklahoma City, and then they'd play 2 here. My first year, we played a game early in the season in Oklahoma City and then played the last 2 in Norman. But sometimes it would be where you'd play a Friday in Norman, a Saturday in Stillwater, and a Sunday in Norman, and then vice versa if it was the other way around. It was kind of how it was done. And Kenny Gajewski has kind of been the guy that came out and said, yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't want it that way. I wanted to be able to mimic a super regional type setting, and this is in our conference. This is the only way that we can do that against a team like Oklahoma State or Oklahoma. So I know it's made some people kind of frustrated, and I get that just because that's how it's always been done. But you know, I'll give in the interview, Kenny Gajewski was on. He goes, listen, it's really good for Oklahoma State this year. Well, that's great. It's probably going to be really good for Oklahoma next year. And I'll tell you one thing too. He said 100% capacity this weekend in Stillwater. So I don't know what's going to change between Friday and Sunday, but on Friday it's 50%, but then somehow by Sunday it's 100% capacity. So I don't know what's changing between Friday and Sunday, but that's what's happening in the series this weekend. And they're having the graduation ceremonies on Saturday. So yeah, it's I know it's just been something that always kind of made it easier. And I don't know, in some instances, T-Row, it might be a budget thing to where you don't have to get a hotel. You don't have to pay for a couple of nights in a hotel. In some instances, it might just be, hey, you get a chance to play in Oklahoma City. But, yeah, I guess Coach Gajewski has been pushing for that, and that's where we are this weekend. I mean, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm pretty fired up about it this weekend. Is that coming across okay? I mean,
yeah.
am I talking too fast? Because it's awesome.
What time are we playing?
Okay, here's softball this weekend. We've moved it around a little bit. Friday night is at 6. Now, Saturday night was originally at 6, Then it moved to 5. And then ESPN said, hey, hold up, we want this game. So now it's at 3. So Friday at 6, Saturday at 3, and then Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Because your Sunday morning game is at, what, 10:30 now?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we have almost the same schedule. We're 5:30 Friday Central, 3 o'clock Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Sunday.
Wow, so we'll kind of just be following along on Twitter with each other.
That's
is
right.
One way to go. It's going to be a big weekend for both teams, isn't it? That's the key here. It's big for the baseball team to kind of right the ship after Tuesday, and I think it's big for the Sooners because they want to go out and sweep.
It's May, so that means every game on the diamond is big for everybody at this time of year.
Great point. T-Row, thanks for still finding time, man. I know it was exhausting not getting back from Amarillo till 1:30 a.m. last night, but we'll chat this weekend, man. Have a safe trip to Morgantown.
See you, Plank.
See you, Toby.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.